this morning and tonight. Their pastor's mother's real bad in West Virginia, and so they needed someone to fill in so he could go be with his mother. And so remember him today in prayer and his family today. All right, let's turn, if you would, this morning to Matthew's Gospel, the sixth chapter this morning of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. We'll begin reading verse 25 and read through the rest of the chapter today. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 25 through verse 34 this morning. And we'll read verse 33 together when we get to it. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on it. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things doeth the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Let's read verse 33 together. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thank you, and be seated. Our Father, we do ask today, Lord, as we bow our heads here today, we just ask that the Lord meet with us and give us today of your presence, Lord, in a manifest way. Please anoint the word of God. Let it have free course. Father, we pray you would bring to our remembrance any and everything, Lord, that you want us to remember today, that we might be able to preach, Lord, today and explaining, expounding the Word of God. We pray for the lost today to be saved. We pray for the saved today, Lord, that they would be drawn closer to you, Lord, and that we might be discipled in the ways of the Lord that would be pleasing to him. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us this week, and we give you, Lord, the praise for your many blessings. Thank you most of all for Calvary and dying on the cross for our sins. And Lord, making us aware of it, drawing us to yourself, and Lord, saving us, Lord, when we came, believing and confessing. And we thank you for that, Lord. Have your way today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to look here this morning. My text verse here is verse number 33. And you know, as we read through here this morning, the Bible says, take no thought for your life and what you eat or what you're going to wear. And gives us these things here, and we could probably go to the altar right there. We say, well, he said, who can add one? Which one of you can, by thought, take one cubic unto his stature? Add one cubic unto his stature, and you couldn't do that by thought. Some of these high heels I see some of these ladies are wearing might could do that, but you couldn't do it by your thought. And then he says here, how that God made the lilies, and Solomon in all of his glory could not be arrayed like one of them. And he goes all the way down through there, and he says again, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Well, he knows this, don't he? He said, after all these things is what the Gentiles seek after. But I'm interested this morning in verse 33 where he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, there's always something special about first things, always. And we can look at our own life and think about some of the first things in our own life and how they're special to us. And you might, we just had school start back, and We might think about that first day that we ever went to school. I don't think I'll ever forget it because somebody was talking this week about one of their children that had started to school and maybe cried some or something. I said, I think I cried for about the first 6 months or something. I just didn't like it. But I remember that first day when my mother took me to school, and I remember the other children that were there in the room where I was sitting, and I remember that very well. And I'm sure there's some things in your life that you remember for the first time. You probably remember the first time that maybe you ever drove a car. You probably remember that. If you don't, probably every who was in there with you probably does today. I remember the first time I tried to teach my wife how to drive a straight shift, and we had a little red Volkswagen, and you know, that thing just didn't work good when you cram it into first at about 50 miles an hour. It just didn't work good, but we remember first things, you know, and on a spiritual side of it, you probably remember the first time God dealt with you as a lost person. God dealt with you, and you may remember that after you got saved, you may remember that first time that you finally got enough strength to stand up and to give a testimony for however you could do it. I remember the first time that I preached that I really sensed the power of God. I remember that day, and it's like the Lord just come upon me, and I just want to step back and look at that fellow preaching and say, that can't be me. I've been preaching about 6 months, I guess, and God just really anointed me that day and took hold. And that day, the first person that ever came to the altar and got saved that day. And I remember that very well. And we can go on and on with things that are first in our life, and they're always important. We always remember those first things. Now, here in the Bible, the text said, God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, these are, God is saying, this is first, this is important, this is something that you need to do. God has an order of things, and we go through the Bible, we find that God has an order for all parts of our life, but we go through the Bible and we realize that God has an order for our life, and God says there's things that should be put first, God says, and I guess one of the biggest problems of our life as we grow older, and especially as a Christian, and even maybe as not a Christian, is that we have to learn how to discriminate between what's really important and what's not important. Because life has so many claims upon our time and our possessions and our abilities, and there's so many things that are seeking our day and seeking our hours that God gives us and our possessions that we have, and God says we need to learn to discriminate on what's important and put that first, God says. You know, all through the Bible, you know, this principle is found in the Word of God. The Bible has a lot of principles in it, and those principles are to be applied to our life. God didn't just put them in there for nothing. He put them in there that we might apply these principles to our own life. And we'll find that when we apply these principles to our life, that God will bless our life. You know, there's just some things that are, not that other things are not important, but there's just some things that are more important. There's just some things that God says ought to be first and not secondary or thirdly in our life. These things ought to be first in our life. We think about how that, you know, so many people put emphasis on the body. And God gave us the body. It's important. And Lord tells us how to take care of it. He sometimes when I'm trying to do something health-wise, which is seldom ever, but when I'm trying to do something health-wise, somebody will say, well, I thought you was a preacher. I thought you was wanting to go to heaven. So why are you worried about how long you live? Well, I'm not really worried about how long I live. I'm just worried about how I live while I'm here. I don't want to be, if I'm going to be here a while, I want to be as healthy as I can, and I want to be able, and I'll tell you that I have no desire to stay here. if I'm not healthy and if I'm not able to function, I have no desire to stay here. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't have any desire for that kind of thing. Of course, the times and the seasons are in God's hands, and that's not for me to say. That's for Him to say. But God has given all of us a certain time here upon the earth, and a lot of that, how that I spend that time and the kind of shape my body's in during that time, a lot of that has to do with my priorities and what I've done with the body God gave me. But as important as the body is this morning, God says the soul's more important. If people, you know, and I'm not against the running and jogging and all of that kind of stuff and walking, and I'm sure it's all good and has its place, and the Bible said it'll profit you a little, it says. It'll help you a little bit. But He said godliness is profitable unto all. So in our kind of a day, we see a lot of people putting a lot of emphasis on the outward body, but not much emphasis on the spiritual person, the soul. And God says that's what should come first. He says there, don't fear him that's able to destroy the body. But He said, fear him that's able to destroy the soul. He said, what shall a man's life? He said, if a man gain the whole world and lost his soul, He said, what should he give in the exchange? In other words, what He's saying is the soul's more important than the body. And so the emphasis ought to be placed upon the soul. The Bible said in the book of Corinthians, He said, for we look not at the things which are seen, because the things which are seen, they're temporal, but the things that are not seen, they're eternal. So He's saying here that the spiritual things, the eternal things are a lot more important than the temporal things, the Lord's saying. And so He says those things ought to be put first in our life. We worry a lot about living, and certainly living is important. We all want to live and all of that. But yet the Bible says more important than living is first of all getting ready for dying. He said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. The Bible said in Amos, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. But Israel ain't the only one's got to meet God. You and I have got to meet God also. And so He says, before you get too caught up in living, make sure you're ready for dying. Amen. So He's talking about the importance of first things. A lot of emphasis today, on bodybuilding and that type of thing. And people trying to build their bodies up and weightlifting and all of that kind of a thing. And I seen a fellow the other day, and his body didn't even look natural because of how it looked. It didn't even look natural. Of course, he probably wouldn't think mine looks natural. But what I'm saying this morning is that physical strength's important, but spiritual strength is far more important than physical strength. Amen. So what I'm leading up to here, and what I want to preach on a little while this morning, I want to preach on God's priorities. I want to preach on what God puts first. I'm interested in what God puts first this morning. Are you interested in what God puts first today? The Lord tells us here, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, He says. So we realize this morning that God has a priority. God has some things that God puts first. It's wonderful how that they're laid out here in the Gospel of Matthew, as we'll see here in just a minute. But we say, well, how do we know what God puts first? Well, He gave us a Bible, and we can read that Bible. And as we read that Bible, God tells us what pleases Him. God tells us what He desires of us. God tells us what's the most important and what's secondary or thirdly or even fourthly or not important at all. God tells us all these things. For instance, a young man came to the Lord one day he wanted to know what was first. And he said, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You might ask yourself this question this morning. If you do love God, why do you love Him? Well, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. If we hadn't have first loved us, we wouldn't love Him. Amen. You know, human beings don't normally like people, don't like them. Human beings don't normally love people, don't love them in the natural sense. But God loved us first, and therefore we love God. You know, as a disciple, we've been focusing on servanthood and discipleship here last Sunday night and a little bit this morning, probably tonight. But when we talk about discipleship, the Lord is illustrating that, and the Lord says, deny yourself, take up the cross, follow me. But then the Lord says this, He said, what man intending to build something that he don't sit down first and count the cost? You see, before you start building, you need to first sit down. Make sure you got enough to build. You say, why? Because you might get a structure half up and it'd stand there as a testimony against God. Make God look bad. I've passed by a lot of places like that where they started something is half up, church split, fell apart, whatever the reason was, no doubt out of the will of God, and the thing never got finished. And it stands there to the lost man as a monument forever until it falls down. That God can't do what do His work. God can't even do what He starts. Well, it's not God. It's us. You see, the Lord said, before you started, He said, sit down and count the cost first and make sure. He said, are you going to battle? He said, if you're going to battle, He said, first of all, sit down and make sure that if you got a certain number of people and you're going out to meet a greater number, sit down first and make sure that you've got enough going out against the enemy to overcome that enemy. So God says first, amen. Did you know when it comes to giving, you know, we're talking about giving to God. You say, I put money in the offering plate this morning. That's good. But you know, that's not what's first in giving. Did you know what God said in 1 Corinthians 8? God said of that church there in Corinthians, God said they first of all gave themselves. You see, but more important than you giving your money first is to give yourself. You say, why? Well, if He's got me, He's got my money, all that I have and everything else, amen. So God said, first of all, give yourself to the Lord. So this morning you may have given to the Lord, but you give secondary because you hadn't first of all yet give yourself to God. The Lord says in soul winning, mission work, going out for God. You remember when that Andrew came to the Lord and he said he found the Lord, and then he went and he got his brother, and the Bible said he first brought his brother to the Lord. You see, in soul winning, mission work, first of all, you start here before you go there. In Acts 1 and 8, he said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then he said, be witnesses to me, don't miss it. First of all, in Jerusalem, and then Samaria, and then to the other parts of the earth. So it starts there. Amen. Judgment. You know what the Bible says about judgment? It said judgment must first of all begin at the house of God. And then it says, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And so God has an order of first things this morning. I'm talking about God's priority. I'm talking about what does God put first. I'm not talking about what I put first. I'm not talking about what you put first. I'm talking about what does God put first. God says if I put first what He puts, what He tells me to put first, then God will bless me. Amen. Well, let's look at some of these this morning, if you would. I'll try not to be too long. Although Sister blessed me this morning, she come up and she said, I've been listening to you all week, preacher. And I said, well, I guess you're tired of me, ain't you? She said, oh no. She said, I sit there every Sunday and I say, this can't be all of it. Please don't quit. Please preach some more. Well, bless her heart. She just calls y'all to have to listen 20 more minutes of preaching this morning. Amen. What I'm saying this morning, I'm saying that God has an order of first things. Look in Matthew 5. I know it's the Sermon on the Mount. I totally understand the Jewish slant. I totally understand that it's the laws that govern the kingdom when the kingdom gets set up. But still, there's some principles there that apply. It can apply to our life even today. Look, if you will, in Matthew 5, look at verse 23. The Bible said, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother had aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way, circle it first." He said, "Be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison." Now, I totally, completely, 100% understand that this morning that nobody's going to a judge and nobody's bringing a gift. And in the verse preceding that, nobody is saying "Reka" to the brother. I remember, I realize all of that, and it has a Jewish slant this morning. But there's a principle here to be found. I want you to notice this morning, and let me say this, it's important I say this. You say, "Well, somebody told me I can't get saved until I forgive everybody." That's not true. That's not true. You say, why? Because until you get saved, you don't have the power to forgive everybody. But once you get saved and God fills your being and God permeates your heart and the love of God and the spirit that was in Christ on the cross when he forgave his persecutors, when he forgave those that nailed him to the cross, when he forgave those that put a crown on his head, when he forgave those before they even put the sword in his side, he said, "I forgive them." When that spirit gets inside of you, then you'll be able to forgive somebody. I've known people, and I'm sure many of you have, that literally hated somebody, but God dealt with them. They got under old time a Sinai conviction, come to an altar and got saved by the grace of God, become a new creature in Christ. And I'll tell you, they was filled with the love of God. I was preaching years ago over in a little old church over to Edmonton, edge of the county there, and there's a lady stood up testify that night, older lady, and she said, "I must tell tonight about when I got saved." She said, "I had a neighbor woman, I couldn't stand her. She said, I'm honest, even to see her go across the yard made me sick. She said, sometimes I'd pull the blind down so I wouldn't have to look at her. But she said, God saved me." Said, "When God saved me," she said, "that next morning I was standing there at my little old kitchen sink washing dishes, and I seen that woman come across. And she said she looked like an angel of God. And she said, I ran out there and hugged her. And I said, I'm sorry. And they forgave each other. You see, she couldn't do that until she got God in her, the love of Christ in her. But this scripture here is not talking about a lost person. Please notice some things. One, it said, go to thy brother, it says. It says you're bringing a gift to the altar. These are things that speak about God. These are things that speak about somebody that knows something about God. Now listen to me this morning. Here's the principle, okay? Don't come to the altar this morning. If you're saved and you're right with God, don't come to the altar this morning trying to get right with God. First of all, get right with whoever you got out with, and then come back to the altar and get right with God. Amen. I want you to understand this morning that in Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Free Will Baptist churches, General Baptist churches, I guess all churches, there's people that have ought against each other. You say, "Well, I've made it right." Have you? Why is it then when you see that person you turn away? Why is it when you see that person you don't stick out a hand to shake? Or you don't hug that person's neck? I'll tell you why it is. Because down deep in your heart, even though you said forgiving them, you're lying to yourself. You ain't forgive them. And they're still all in your heart. And you're trying to sing. You're trying to praise God. You're trying trying to pray your way through at an altar, and the reason you're not having much success is because you're not doing it God's way. God said, first of all, go to that person. First of all, make it right with that person. And then God says, then come and bring your gift to me. Bring your testimony to me. I bring whatever you're bringing to me. But first of all, God says, make things right with your brother. Amen. Amen. That's what Jesus said. The words are read. You say, but. Don't start butting now. You'll be a goat instead of sheep. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, that's what you ought to first do before you try to sing, act like you're right with God. Before you try to go to the altar and squall and cry. God said, first of all, go to whoever it might be, there's some ought against there. Go to them and say, forgive me. And once you've done that, you say, what if they don't forgive me? Don't matter. If you went to them and you said, forgive me, you're released from that obligation. And now you can go to God and there won't be nothing damming up the blessings that God wants to send your way. Amen. Amen. All right, look, if you will, back to our text verse tonight. Matthew 6, or this morning. Verse 33, the Bible says, but seek ye first, there it is, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now God's saying, first of all, He's saying seek the spiritual. And then God says, if you'll seek the spiritual, then God says, I'll take care of all the temple. The Lord said, if you will first of all seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the kingdom of God, seek ye. And I don't think I'd be stretching the scriptures or doing it any harm. If I said seeking the kingdom of God, I would be like Nicodemus seeking to get in the kingdom, seeking how to get saved, seeking how that you could get into God's kingdom. Well, the Bible said, and Jesus said, if you don't be born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. But the Bible said, seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He's near. But you know, a lot of people, they seek the Lord because the Lord sought them, and they get in and they get saved. But that verse stops right there for them. But the verse don't stop there. The verse said, seek the Lord, seek the kingdom, and then all His righteousness. In other words, He's saying, seek to live right. You know, there's a lot of people that get saved. They seek the Lord, they get saved, but they stop right there. They don't go on to want to live right and to want to do right. Our Sunday school superintendent's helper this morning read the verse there in Peter where the Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, when I get saved, I'm not done. God just started working on me. It's going to be a lifelong work. He's going to hammer, bead, amen. I preached up in Eubank, Kentucky Tuesday night. I called Brother Sears, who owns the tent, set up the meeting, and I called him on Tuesday morning, checked my time, make sure everything was all right. When he was in there, I could hear all this hammering and nailing and all this stuff. And he said, can you hear me? I said, what in the world's going on? He said, we're trying to build something here. I said, well, I said, we can't hear it. But I said, if we could, that's the way it'd sound on Sunday morning. God's a hammering and a beating and a nailing. And God's trying to build something. Amen. But I tell you this morning, listen, I'm saying this morning that God says, seek the spiritual first, and then God will give you the temporal things in your life. Amen. You know, God says in 1 Thessalonians that every one of us ought to know how to possess our body, our vessel unto sanctification. You young ladies, learn how to dress. You say, what do you mean? Well, what I mean is take some that you cut off down here and put back up here. If you got any left over, put a little bit more down there. Amen. I see some mouths drop open in. What's the matter? Y'all ain't used to preaching? Everybody always comes here and says, y'all used to preaching. They say they like preaching. I say, yes, sir. They like hard preaching. They may not do it, but they like it. Amen. But the Bible says that we'll learn how to live sanctified. You say, what's that mean? That means separated unto God, holy, different from the world. I don't want to smell like the world. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to sound like the world. I don't want to act like the world. I want to be sanctified unto the Lord. What about you this morning? He says, seek you first the kingdom of God. You remember over in 1 Kings, don't you love that story in 1 Kings? I do. Look over there in 1 Kings 17. If you love the truth enough to turn your Bible a few pages, look there in 1 Kings 17. You remember when Elijah had been down by the brook Cherith, the brook started drying up. And God said, brook's drying up because I want you to go somewhere else. And he went somewhere else, and God commanded a little widow woman there at Zarephath. He went over there and he found her, and she didn't have much either. She was gathering sticks and about starved to death. Had a boy that you could count every rib in his body. And she said, I'm going to bake a little cake here, and then my boy's going to eat it, and we're going to die. But look what the preacher did when he got there, just like a preacher. The preacher went there, and he says in verse 10, let's start there, and said, so he rose, went to Zarephath, and when he had came to the woman there gathered of sticks, and he called her to said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. Make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, first unto me, first unto me. Seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all these other things will be added unto you. And he said, bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the curse of all fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the curse of all fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Amen. You say, what are you saying? Well, if she'd have went and made her cake first, they'd eat that cake, they'd both died. They'd starve to death. You say, why? Because God said, the man of God said, first of all, he said, make me something to eat. Bring me some water. And said, if you'll take care of God's man first, he said, God will take care of you. If you'll seek the kingdom first, I said that God will meet every need you have. Amen. I like that, don't you? I went to work one day. I had on a new pair of shoes, a new pair of blue jeans, brand new t-shirt. I walked in the break room there at Donnelly's, midnight shift, sit down, got me a cup of coffee. And one of them old hacklers and harassers began to harass me, you know, two or three of them. They said, well, I must spend good money down to church today. Preacher got new shoes. Preacher got new blue jeans. Preacher got a new shirt. Well, the offering must have really been good today. I said, the offering same as it always been. And I said, if you'll do what God tells you to do, I said, you could come in on Sunday night with new shoes, new blue jeans, new shirt. They said, what do you mean? I said, the Bible said that God will not hold any good thing for them to walk uprightly. I said, if you walk uprightly, put God first, live for God, you can wear new Levi's, you can wear a new Fruit of Loom t-shirt, you can wear new work shirt shoes. God said, seek me first. And God says, I'll add all these blessings unto you. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Funny how God lays this out. Look in Matthew 7. Let's read the first few verses there, Matthew 7. The Bible says, judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you met, it shall be measured you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first, there it is. Thou hypocrite, first, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, And then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eyes. God's saying, first of all, before you and I begin to judge others, God said, first of all, he don't say don't judge them, but he says, first of all, he says, judge yourself. And he says, if you judge yourself first, what he's saying here is if I judge myself first, if you judge yourself first, you know what, after we get to looking at first, we may decide just leave second alone for right now. Amen. But God has a principle here. Now I understand the Bible said the spiritual man judgeth all things. I understand we have to make some judgments as a child of God. But he's talking here. He's talking here about judging about things that we don't know anything about. And he says here, judge not that you be not judged. Because how you give it out, how it's going to come back. I know some Baptists this morning, and they're not tolerant of anything. Anything. I was preaching down in Tennessee. And there's a little old fella come up and just got saved and everything. He come up. And he didn't say after service, I liked the sermon or didn't like the sermon. He just come up and his first question to me was, he said, what do you think about Christmas? It's in August. Somewhere along in there anyway. I said, what do you mean? He said, these people here, said they practice Christmas. They believe in Christmas. And he said, I got convictions against that. And I looked down at his feet. And I'd never seen him before, but he had on some shoes that looked like gloves. Have you ever seen them? I guess they're shoes, but they got toes, fingers, you know, like gloves. And I looked down there, and he said, I don't believe in it. And I said, well, some people don't believe in your shoes. He said, do what? I said, some people don't believe in your shoes. They would think it'd be right to wear shoes like that. I said, brother, I said, remember this. I said, there's some convictions that really matter. Don't move away from them. Stand on them. Stay with them. Don't let anybody drive you away from them. But I said, there's some things that really ain't even worth fighting. Like the old saying, a bulldog can whip a skunk, but he's still going to come out a loser. Amen. I want you to understand this morning, there's some things ain't even worth fighting over this morning. But you see here, he's saying, first of all, the principle, if you're going to judge somebody, first of all, judge yourself. We've heard that all our life. My grandmother and my mom and them taught me that before I ever even opened the Bible. Amen? We've heard it all our life. Romans 2 said, thou art inexcusable, without excuse. O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing. You say, what are you saying? Well, a lot of times what we judge somebody for, we're so blinded that we don't see our own self in that same light. We don't see that we have done it back there, or we're fixing to do it, or we done it last week, but we don't see ourself, but we see our brother. But the Bible said, first of all, the Bible says, judge yourself, and then, he said, judge your brother. Boy, Baptists are big on grace. I'm big on grace. I'm a grace person. Saved by grace, kept by grace, serving by grace, suffered with grace. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. But a lot of Baptists, boy, they're big on grace for them. But they don't have any for anybody else. No grace for anybody else. You see, the Bible says here that how you judge, God says when it comes your time to judge, I'm going to judge you the same way. God said, you judge hard. God said, I'll judge you hard. God said, you be merciful. I was dealing with a situation years ago. And I was really concerned about it. I was wanting to do the right thing, Eddie. And I was in my study, been wrestling with God and praying. I said, God, and I literally said this. I said, God, I said, I just don't want to be too merciful. It's like the Holy Spirit spoke to me just as plain in my inward being. And he said, are you going to be more merciful than me? I said, settle, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Could you be more merciful with somebody than God's been with you? Could you? Could I? Could we show more mercy to somebody than what God has shown to us? I mean, we've lied to God. We've broken vows with God. We've done everything you could think of with God, and yet His mercy was new this morning when we woke up, thank God. God's saying, deal with people in mercy. Amen. Boy, it's a principle we need to learn to apply. That fella I was talking about, I loved that fella. And I didn't get angry with him or upset with him. And I'm gentle with him. And I tried to show him love. And you know, a lot of times if you're dealing in anger and you're dealing in something that there's no mercy there, that's what you're going to get back. But a lot of times if you'll deal with your enemy in love, a lot of times that'll change them, not every time. Now, I'm not saying go out and hug the Taliban's neck. I'm not saying go to ISIS and go up to them and give them a big kiss. I'm not saying that. They'd probably kill you right then. They'd probably kill you right now. But we're talking about in the church setting. Your brothers and other people, if you don't judge them harsh, if you do, God's going to judge you harsh someday. He said, first of all, He said, do this. You see, God's a searcher of hearts. Amen. God searches my heart. Have you ever judged somebody and then the Lord searched your heart and you didn't want to see it, but the Lord made you see it? Man, I've done this. I've been just like that. What I condemned them for, I've done myself. I've done myself. Amen. The Lord's saying, first of all, judge yourself. Let me start with Brother Rick this morning. Let me judge myself real good. That'll take a while. I may not have time to get to you today. And I judge myself real good. But once I judge myself, if I do get to you today, and I am going to judge you, I'll judge you a lot more merciful because I've judged myself and I've looked at myself and I know myself. Amen. God is a great God. Galatians 6:1. You know, people fall, stumble. It happens. It could happen to me. It could happen to anybody. It could happen to anybody. Every time some preacher falls, somebody will run to me and say, man, I thought there was a good preacher. I said, it probably was. That's the ones the devil wants, is them good ones. That's the one he really tries for, is them good ones. I said, I thought he was a good preacher. Bible said in Galatians 6:1, if any man be overtaken, or it'd be woman too, but if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one to spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Amen. So what he's saying is be merciful to them. Try to help them. Don't judge them too harsh. It could be you next time. Amen. So he's saying, first of all, get right with your brother. If you're saved and you got a problem with somebody, first of all, get that right and then come and bring something to God. He says, first of all, seek the spiritual. Put God first. Do you do that on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Do you put God first? Do you do that in your spiritual life? Well, that's the principle. That's what we're supposed to do, is seek first of all God. And then he says, we're to seek. We shouldn't judge ourselves. We should first of all judge ourselves before we judge somebody else. Look in Matthew 8. Matthew 8, just chapter over there. Look in Matthew 8 and verse 21 and 22. The Bible said, another one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first, there it is, to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Now, here's a fellow goes to the Lord. He said, Lord, let me go home, bury my father. Now, all the commentators that I read, they all say it wasn't a situation like his father's going to die within an hour and he's on a deathbed. But what he's actually saying is, my father's sick and let me go home and take care of him. And he said, until he dies, and he said, then I'll come and preach and follow you and do what you want me to do, Lord. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, put me first. Let me and my family be first, and then I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. But the Lord says, in so many words, the Lord says, let the dead take care of the dead. Let somebody else in your family take care of them, and you come and follow me. I've got a work for you to do. You come and follow me. Put me first is what the Lord's saying here. So what he's saying is Christ, what he wants, should become first before what I want. Wow. That's the principle. That's what God says. And we don't practice that, but that's what God says. That's what God says. You see, let's look at this morning. You got some kind of a habit that runs your testimony. You got some kind of a habit that's sin. Why do we keep doing it? Because we want what we want instead of what God wants. Because we're saying, well, I know it don't look good, and I know God wants me to give it up, but I'm going to keep on because I'm going to come first and then God. That's not the principle. The principle is that if God says give the habit up for the glory of God, you give it up because he comes first, you come second. You remember when they didn't have no money to pay their taxes, and the Lord sent a disciple down there and he said, take this hook, drop it in the water, and the first fish you bring up, you'll find a coin in its mouth. You notice how he said that? It's odd. It's not good grammar. My English teacher would have flunked you for doing it that way. But he said, go pay this for me and then thee. See, if he'd done it correctly, he should have said, go pay this for you and then me. In an English correction, the way it should have been said, but he doesn't do that. You know why? Because good English don't always make good Bible. What he's saying is I come first. Go take care of me first and then take care of you. Amen. Saying, I come first. Man, no wonder the churches is in the messes they're in. They don't do things first. These secondary, third, fourth, if sometimes not even at all. This is what God says. This is God's priority. This is what God says do first. Amen. Amen. What about this? Some of you young ladies here, and you're growing up, young man, you're fixing to get married. You're looking for a wife. You're looking for a husband. You're out there searching, looking high and low. You're always looking, searching. And I'm glad you young ladies, I'm glad you want to get married to some man.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad you young men are wanting to get married to some young lady. I'm glad you're attracted by some female, not some male. I'm glad you're attracted by some male, not some other female. Amen. But you know, God says, that's okay. He says, I want you to do that. But he said, first of all, seek the kingdom. First of all, get saved. That's more important than anything. Get saved is more important than getting married or anything else. He said, first of all, get saved. He said, then when you get saved, he said, seek somebody that is saved. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. When's the last time you heard that preached? Still in the Bible. You say, what's that mean? God's saying, if you're saved, don't go out here and marry some heathen. God's saying, if you're saved, don't go out here and marry some atheist. You say, well, I'll change him. I've seen that change, and it usually goes the other way. God says if you're saved and a Christian, find somebody else that's saved and a Christian. Marry him. Then God will bless your life. Amen. God will bless your life. I'll give you another good hint while I'm helping you young people out this morning. You don't get this down at the high school or over at the college. You don't get this over there. But before you get all wrapped up in a career, before you get all wrapped up in being a doctor or lawyer or anything like that, won't you take a little while to find out, first of all, what God wants you to do?
Amen.
What if God says be a housewife? Oh, God, stay home. A lady told me the other day, and she almost apologetic. And she said, I said, what's your husband do? She told me. And I said, what are you doing? She said, oh, I'm just a housewife. I said, thank God. I said, that's what God wants you to be. God said, learn to be a keeper at home. My goodness, preacher, where'd you get this stuff? Out of the Bible. Out of the Bible. You say, yeah, but we're living in different times. I know we are. I know we're living in different times. I understand that. I know that. But what I'm saying is this. I'm saying the principle of the Word of God is still true this morning. Still true this morning. It ain't no sin to be a homemaker. Husband's the head of the home. Wife's the heart of the home. Children are the harmony of the home. You get all that working right, boy, you got your home. Here's what I started to say. Before you get into all that, trying to find your house, you get into all that, having two new cars and a house that you can't afford, your mom and daddy couldn't even afford it, your grandmother couldn't even afford it. Before you get into all that stuff, put your marriage in jeopardy. You say, why is that going to put my marriage in jeopardy? Because when you get that big debt, everybody's going to have to go to work. Everybody goes to work, you're going to see each other about an hour a day. You're going to be tired and ill with each other. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying live, learn to live within your means. Amen. Go to McDonald's, Wendy's, you know everybody, the word today. Do you want to upsize that? No, I want to downsize it. Not more, less. Less. Why do we do this? Why do we take that man that's on dope? Why does a beautiful young lady that's a Christian, been saved, knows God, why does she take that man on dope? Why does she take that man that's an alcoholic at 18? I'll tell you why she does that. Me first. And then God, what you want. You'll pay for it. About 10 years later, you'll be like some people that sit in my office that wouldn't listen about 10 years later. They say, preacher, you don't know how they are. I say, don't blame me. I tried to warn you. I tried to tell you, you wouldn't listen to your mama, daddy, your grandma, your grandpa, your preacher. You wouldn't listen to nobody. You had to have him. You got him. You got her. First things first. Seek what the Lord wants first. Why don't we win souls? Why don't we witness? Because we want to do what we want to do. Not what God wants to do. Amen. The answer to all of our failures is summed up in two words. Our spiritual failures. Our church attendance. Our prayer life. Our Bible reading. Our witnessing. Our giving. It's all summed up in two words, the reason for our failure. Me first. Me first. So you know, I found out over 34 years living for God, I found out that if you'll make time for His stuff, He'll make time for your stuff. You say, that can't work out, preacher, because you're going to be at church on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock till, well, if you come here, 1. You're going to be in church till 6 o'clock till 7, and how are you going to have more time? You're not going to have more time. But you're going to have more quality time. You're going to have more God-blessed time. I mean, I know a lot of folks, they're going to be together all day. They're going to be together all day today. And you know what they're going to do while they're together? Fuss and fight and squall and yell and throw stuff and scream and holler and jump up and down. But they're together. I know some families going to be together all day down on the lake. You see what they're going to do? Oh, they're going to stumble around, wall around, drink beer and fall around in the lake and cuss and holler and carry on, yell at each other and lust after somebody else's wife. But they're going to be together all day. We've got some quality time here. All right, I'm finishing up. Can we get a big amen right there? All right, look in Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Last one, we're talking about God's priorities, what God puts first. Look at Matthew 23, verse 25 and 26. The Bible says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first. There it is. Cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, and that the outside of them may be clean also. I've washed dishes all my life. Don't care to wash them. Don't care to help out. I eat out of them, I can help wash them sometimes. My mama taught me that when I was little. We had a bunch of kids, and as one got married and went off, the next one stepped up, and he's a babysitter while mama worked. Had to wash dishes, had to take care of that. Amen. Now, wouldn't I be silly that if you come out to my house, I ask you to come out for dinner this morning. You come out to dinner, and our supper dishes, they were still sitting there, and I picked one of them up, and I said, you just sit down right there, and I'll have your plate in a minute. And I picked that dish up we eat out of last night and walked to the back side of it and set it down there. And I went over there and I picked up a cup that I drunk coffee out of this morning. And I said, I'll get you a cup here in just a minute. And I picked it up and I washed the outside of that cup and set it down there by you. And it's still got black coffee in the bottom of it that deep. Wouldn't that be silly? Well, you wouldn't want that. You'd refuse that. You'd say, preacher, I ain't going to eat out of this. The outside's clean, but the inside's not even been washed. Preacher, I ain't going to drink out of this. It's still got stuff in it. I ain't going to do that. That's what some people do to the Lord. Get up on Sunday morning, put a nice suit on, clean white shirt from the cleaner, starched, darn, pants pressed, shoes shine, new socks, put it on, go down to the house of God. God, I'm here. God said, yeah, you got the outside looking pretty good, but the inside don't look too good. The inside's got all kinds of stuff in it. You see, man starts on the outside and works in. God starts on the inside and works out. First thing, God, when you get saved, old boy come in here, and he looked pretty shaggy. He looked like, you know, just looked like the world higher down to here. Beard, you know, long beard, shaggy beard, smell like he had a bath. He come in here this morning, he said, I want to get saved. I said, all right, you come on down here. He comes down there, I said, go get some water. Josh, go up there and get a bucket of water and some soap and bring down here. And we washed the old boy down. And I said, get a barber and bring him here. Let's cut his hair and cut his beard. And let's get him all cleaned up. Spray some spray on him, get him smelling good. Get him some good clothes and put on him. Get him all cleaned up, smelling good, looking good. And I say, all right, now you ready to get saved. Wouldn't that be stupid? Know what God does. God brings old boy down here, dirt and all. Come just as I am without one plea. Come just like you are. God brings him down here. And God takes the blood of Christ, washes out the inside. And then God starts working on the outside. Praise God. The inside first. 1 Samuel 16:7 said, God looketh on the heart. You said, I thought you said you was quitting. I did. I just didn't say when. Just hold on a minute. I feel like preaching this morning. I'm going to do some of it. 1 Samuel 16:7, God looks on the outward appearance. Man looks on the heart, see. Psalm 51:6, David makes this great truth. David said, God desires truth in the inward parts. Don't matter what you say outward. God wants it to be true down deep inside your innermost being. You mean it down deep inside your innermost being. God desires truth in the inward part. All right, look at 2 Chronicles this morning. 2 Chronicles, and this is something that physically took place. It'd probably be a good thing if it spiritually took place this morning. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, there's been a revival under Hezekiah. There's going to be. Look in verse 16. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 16. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord and cleansed it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord and to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad unto the brook Kendron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. On the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. Get the picture here in your mind. They went into the temple. They got everything out that wasn't supposed to be in there. They cleaned everything out of the temple. Took them 8 days to get it all out, all cleaned up. You say, what's that got to do with me? First of all, if you're saved, you're a priest. The Bible said He's made you a priest, Revelation 5. Second of all, you're the temple. The Bible doesn't say that this building today is a temple. The Bible said your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Thirdly, they started cleaning all the garbage out. They started getting all the garbage out of their life. They took it down to the Brook Kidron. What was that? That was the landfill. That was the dump. They took all that wasn't no good and they throwed it out in the dump. They got their house all, they got it all cleaned up. They got everything out of the way. You say, what happened then? God sent a revival. He did first thing first, and God sent a revival. The Lord said, seek ye first. Put me first. Check yourself this morning. I'm not judging you. I preached against that this morning. But check yourself this morning. Where's God at in your life? 5, 6, somewhere down on the list, or is he even on the list? And then we wonder why we can't get a hold of God. We wonder why that we're not getting the blessings of the Lord we want in our life. Because we're doing it. We're not putting God first. We're doing Him secondarily, thirdly, fourthly, fifthly, sixthly. Not even at all. Put God first. See if God won't do what He said He'd do. Piano player comes, song leader. Lord, I thank You this morning. Thank You for impressing this upon my heart, Lord, for this morning. Certainly help this preacher. Lord, sometimes we can have You first, and then somehow or another, Lord, we slide something in front of You, and then something else, and then something else. And next thing, Lord, You're plumb out of sight. This message like this, Lord, is to help somebody that never heard the principle of letting God be first. And it's also to help some people that maybe have had God first at times in their life, but now they've somehow or another misplaced God, and other things take priority over the things of God. And I pray they'd see it today, and the first thing to do would be come and get right about it, get right with the Lord, and say, Lord, help me put You first. And then, Lord, if there's somebody lost today, don't know the Lord, the Bible says they're to seek first of all the kingdom. First thing they need to do is not sing, not teach Sunday school, not get in a Bible study. First thing they ought to do is seek the Lord. They need to get saved. They need to get their soul saved. They need to get right with God. I pray they might come today.